Dr. Epperle, thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you.
You represent family physicians.
I do.
What, in their view, is the single most pressing problem in terms of health care?
The biggest issue right now facing the nation is access to health care. And what the American Academy of Family Physicians wants to do to help with that is create a system of patient-centered medical homes that will allow all patients in America a place to be seen for preventive, acute, and chronic care.
And the patient-centered home is something that the association has been talking about, I think, for several decades now, right?
Yes.
Why is that the basis, the core of your proposal?
Yes. We recognize that there is both quality and lower cost if patients have a relationship with an established personal physician. In that relationship is trust and knowledge. So if each patient were to have one place to go with his or her physician and his or her expanded medical team, then all of those care items can be provided in one place so that it's the right place at the right time, the right type of physician, the right type of care. And in that comes healthcare quality and decreased cost.
And so the family practitioner, in a sense, becomes the gatekeeper, which kind of became a dirty word back
right.
in the 90s
right.
with HMOs. So what is the difference?
Yeah, we prefer to see it as a gateway instead of a gatekeeper. The whole gatekeeper concept was like building a barrier, building a wall so you couldn't get out to see other physicians. What we recognize is the value as a gateway is that it's a focal point where people can come for care, and then if the patient needs additional care, the physician can help educate the patient and get them onto that next level of care. So we don't see it as a wall, i.e. a gatekeeper approach, as much right now as a gateway, one that facilitates care, one that connects the dots for the patient, one that gets the patient then into the system in an appropriate way.
I have one very practical question. It seems to me that general practitioners, family practitioners, don't have enough time in the day now. How would they, in your proposal,
yeah.
where it would take so much more time and so much more caring and information, where would they find the time?
Yeah. Excellent question. We are caught on a hamster treadmill right now of face-to-face visits. The whole concept is to expand the medical team so that we can use nurses, medical assistants, social workers, other members of the team to do much for the patient between patient education, helping them understand certain things so that the physician's time can be leveraged for the most important items in terms of the critical thinking or the diagnosis, the management, the prescription of medications. So in an expanded team format, we see that we can get more care done for the patient. Now, what must come with that then is payment that would be for non-face-to-face visit time, because to integrate and coordinate that care will need to be another payment mechanism. We call it the care management fee that would be so many dollars per patient per month that would come in to allow the practice, to allow the patient-centered medical home to provide that non-face-to-face visit time to make sure that our focus on our patients is to keep them healthy as opposed to just react to their sick care, to react to their illness.
How does that idea fit into the larger picture of healthcare reform? Is what you just described, can it work in a private-public system? Must it only be public?
Yes, we see it as a shared responsibility that can happen between insurance companies, the federal government, state Medicaid programs, health insurers, employers. We believe that actually there's synergy in bringing this all together in one complex way that helps focus on this patient-centered medical home and getting patients back to that location for the majority of their care. What countries have found outside of the United States is that when the system is foundational on the medical home and primary care, that it actually saves cost, improves quality, and the healthcare outcomes of the patients are improved. And what America is recognizing now is that if we get back to that type of care system, instead of the fragmented, chaotic, specialty-oriented care, that not only will we save cost and improve access, but we'll actually have a healthier country.
But does the Academy have a preference for single payer, for public, for private? to make this happen?
No preference for single payer. What we recognize is that we want health care for all. And how that all comes together is certainly up to the country to decide. What we're focused on is the concept in general. How it's funded can be left to others to try to sort that out. We recognize, though, that the strength of America's healthcare system will not lie in any one area totally. We see more of a synergistic approach by bringing multiple groups together.
What role, then, would the federal government have in making this idea of the academies real?
Yes. A couple things. Right now, Medicare has in its newest legislation and its 2004 Medicare legislation pilot programs for patient-centered medical homes. Mm-hmm. So proof of concept.
North Carolina? Is that right?
Well, North Carolina was a Medicaid project.
Okay.
But Medicare itself will also be piloting these programs. I'm glad, that you mentioned North Carolina, because the Community Care of North Carolina, CCNC project, did show that a patient-centered medical home saved that state $200 million in its first year and $250 million in its second year of implementation. Again, by integrating and coordinating care, it kept people unnecessarily out of the emergency room, saved hospitalizations, and actually the return on investment was the decreased utilization of ERs and hospitals, which is what the savings were.
If the Academy could say to the next president of the United States, whether it be McCain or Obama, this is the single thing we would like to happen when it comes to healthcare reform.
Yes.
What would it be?
Yes. It would be to build a new transformed healthcare system on primary care as its foundation, its solid foundation, with the patient-centered medical home being its basic building block. In that model, there would be access for patients to go and be seen for both preventive, acute, and chronic care. And in that model, we can keep both the nation's workforce healthier, we can keep people healthier, we can decrease morbidity, we can decrease mortality, and at the same time save cost.
What you're suggesting, though, is big and bold.
Yes.
And given the past 20 years of largely failed efforts, some
yes.
successes, but largely failed efforts at healthcare reform or change, do you think big and bold is the way to go in 2009? Or is it small incremental steps mm-hmm. to get where you want to go?
Yes. Big and bold, I would say, is the best approach right now. And the reason I would is that we have a bit of a burning platform here. We're on the precipice of a healthcare meltdown. In 2017, Medicare is predicted to be insolvent. Healthcare in America is bankrupting both many businesses as well as many patients' families. And so we've got to get fairly quickly to a transformed healthcare system now that will lower costs and increase healthcare and increase healthcare outcomes. Right now, that's not happening in America. And if you take a look at the projected trends of healthcare costs, they're only going up. And so we're sitting right on top right now, Jackie, of a ticking time bomb. We must grab hold of this problem now.
And what is your expectation, not your hope, but your realistic expectation that something will happen in Congress, in the White House,
yes.
in the next several years?
Yes. I remain both persistently positive and aggressively optimistic that this will happen. And primarily the reason I do so is I just know the financial imperative the nation is facing. Winston Churchill once said that America will always do the right thing after it tries every other option. I think what America's recognizing now, what the rest of the world has already recognized, is that a return to a healthcare system that has primary care as its basic foundation, and this concept of the patient-centered medical home as its basic building block, will achieve exactly what America is looking for.
And if that does happen, how does the life, the income of the family practitioner change?
Yes, it should increase. And the reason it should is that we've never, as family doctors, we've cared for many, many patients for many, many years. And all of the non-face-to-face service that we provide, which we believe is important for patient care, has never in any way been reimbursed. It's never been paid. What's happening now is that the margins of family medicine practices have become so thin, they have no margin to be able to give that back. So, for instance, putting in an electronic medical record or personal health records for patients, there's no margin to do that. We can't pass that cost back to the payer, back to the patient. And so unless there are incentives, care management fee built into that, we can't get to that, to leveraging that new technology in the information age for patient care. So it's a system in which there must be enhanced payment. There should be for the family doctor. The other big piece that I'd like to just mention in that regard is that what we're seeing with medical students is that they're choosing to go into more lucrative specialty areas because the payment's better. And so right now in America, 80% of the graduating students are going into specialties as opposed to general care, such as family medicine, general internal medicine, or pediatrics. And what that's doing is it's robbing the nation of the workforce that must happen to be able to provide basic primary care to the nation. So what will happen from the process is that not only will it return care back to the patient-centered medical home, back to primary care, but with the payment enhancement, it will also make sure that family physicians can do that. And I think many, many medical students, seeing that it is a positive career, this would be something that I can repay my medical loans by going into this specialty, will drive them back in force into family medicine.
And what does your concept do to the overall medical bill of the nation?
Yes, it lowers it. The reason it lowers it is that by investing with wellness, investing with acute timely care, investing in quality ongoing chronic medical care, with having patients be accessible to that kind of care, it'll save them going to the emergency room where care is about 10 times more expensive, or into the hospital that might have been prevented in the first place. And so by the savings in the system from the back end of care and refocusing that then on more of a wellness health chronic disease management approach, there will be savings in that system. And that's what the medical lesson was from North Carolina, was by doing that with a high-risk population with Medicaid patients, mm-hmm. it saved that state considerable money.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you,
Tedeschi.
Too, Jackie.
Appreciate it.
You betcha.